This is Brother Brown, and he's going to come and preach for us. Come on, brother. Come on.
I tell you what, I don't know who that woman was back there, but whoever it was can be my campaign manager if I run for something. Really good. All right. Last remember, 12:15. All right. Okay. I'd like to try to have the invitation done. Okay. All right. Good. I'm reading notes that the preacher gave me here and trying to get it together. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? You never can tell what's going to happen when you go to church. You never can. I mean, you absolutely cannot. Did I tell about Dr. Gibbs running into that woman and kissed him in the service? He came in the service. The church is running 500. Now, I want you to get this. By the way, that don't come off. You don't have a handheld wireless, do you? Yeah, turn that on. I'll use that. Oh, that's good. The church run about 500, and he came into the service. And he said it was one of those mornings when you could just tell God was going to do some great and wonderful things. He said, I had a feeling of expectation in my heart. He said the people were laughing, they were talking, they were fellowship, said the piano and organ was playing a rousing prelude. He said, I'm trying to tell you, it was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And he said, I came in, I was just so happy in the Lord. I just knew people were going to get saved. And he said, I shook hands and started at the back. And he said, when I got within three pews at the front, a pretty attractive looking 20-ish lady just stood up, stuck her foot out, did a whirl. And he said, before I could realize what was happening, she kissed me right in the mouth. He said, I said, excuse me, lady, excuse me. And she said, oh, Brother Gibbs, she said, I've just been so overwhelmed when I think about your ministry, your work, and I guess I just lost my emotions. She said, I'm so sorry about that. And all of a sudden, she tried to come on him again. Well, by now, he's stiff-arming her, you know. He's embarrassed. People are looking, and he's getting angry. Dr. Gibbs has a temper, and he'll tell you about it if you'll listen to him. And he said, I got around her, and I was trying to make sure she get me again. So I came on the platform, said when I got on the platform, he said nobody was there. The pastor was finishing up class, the assistant pastor wasn't there, choir was assembling, but no one was there to lead them yet. And he said I was mad. He said I was embarrassed, I was red in the face. And he said the little assistant pastor come roaring up on the platform. Oh, Brother Gibbs, they're going to kill me. I should have not ever let this happen. He said, let me tell you something, Buster. That woman's dangerous. She has embarrassed me in front of people. Nobody kisses me but my wife and my daughters. Do you hear what I'm saying? But you don't understand. He said, understand what? He said, you don't understand, Brother Gibbs. That's not a woman. That's a man. It was true. It was a woman. It was a man dressed up like a woman. You know, funny as a $9 bill. I mean, oh my goodness. And the thing had kissed him in the mouth. I mean, think about it. Who? Who? You know what? If we don't all die with AIDS, it'll be a miracle. Did you know that? I mean, honestly, sincerely, it will be a living miracle. I'm glad to be here. I like it here. I feel relaxed here. I don't feel like I got to put on any airs. Wouldn't know how to anyway, but I feel like that I'm just at home here. How many of you ladies heard my wife speak in the last session? Did she do okay? Did she do all right? Good. Wonderful. What bothers me is she's teaching in about every church I go in. What really bothers me, Dr. Shear, I'm hearing more comments positive about her message than I am mine. That really bothers me, you know. But anyway, Rhonda is a sweetheart, and I introduced her to the ladies and told a little bit about her, and I won't go over that here. Except that we are not nearly dads, we're newlyweds. And we are as happy as a coon in the cornfield with a hound dog's tie. Actually, we're not 63 and 66, we are recycled teenagers. That's what we are. And we're having more fun than a barrel of monkeys. There have never been two 25-year-olds any more smitten with love and romance than she and I are. And we travel together all the time. I'm in evangelism and she's in it with me. And we just listen, we get on more airplanes, we stay in the air more than a seagull with sore feet. We really do. And I mean, we just flew in here from North Carolina. We'll fly home, we got about 48 hours, then we fly to Texas for a meeting, and it just goes on and on, and then we're home for a little bit, and we take off to Mexico, I think, isn't it, Rhonda? And then from Mexico and here, and we have several meetings lined up. Well, we got three that I know of. Let's see, we're in Mexico City, and we're in Tula, where her daughter is, and we're in Tanzania, Africa this year or next year? It's next year. But anyway, I'll tell you more about that when I tell you about the CDs we have at the end of the service. We use all the money that comes off that table for missions. We don't take a penny of that, and we'll tell you more about it at the end of the service. Right now, I got to get going. Everybody stand up. Stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Now, I'm going to try to sandwich this message into about 35 minutes, and it usually takes double that, but I'm going to try to give you the corn and throw away the cob, okay? We'll get down to the good stuff. Job chapter number 1, and if you'll find your place, Job... let me find it myself. Here we go. Job chapter number 1. And I'd like to begin reading in verse number 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Satan said, look at me. Satan said, the reason Job serves you is because of what you do for him. You take away his health, you take away his wife, you take away his children, you take away his friends, you take away his substances, he'll curse you to your face. And God says, I'm going to prove something to you, devil. I'm going to prove to you that I've got somebody that loves me and serves me not because of what I give them, but because of who I am. And I'm going to prove to you I've got somebody that serves me not because of the blessings of God, but because of the God of the blessings. And until you lose the blessings of God, you really don't know why you serve the Lord anyway. But when you lose the blessings of the Lord, if you can serve Him because He's God, then God can use you and bless you. But here's what He said. He said, you got a hedge built around about Him. He said, I can't get to Him. He said, you take the hedge down, he'll curse you to your face. And God took the hedge down to prove something to the devil. But I've studied the Bible. In most cases, when the hedge comes down, it doesn't come down because God's testing people. I did a Bible study, and I found out that in most places, when the hedge comes down, it comes down because God had to punish people. And when the hedge comes down... let me give you, keep standing just a minute. Isaiah 5 in verse number 1. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. The well-beloved's God, the vineyard's His people. And He fenced it, and He gathered out the stones thereof. And He looked that it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Amen. He didn't get any fruit. Go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'll take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. I'll break down the wall thereof, and it shall be eaten up. Now, wait a minute. God said I had to take the hedge down to punish them for the evil that they did. Well, now, when He did that, did He look around and say, I get to punish them now? No. You know, you don't know much about the nature and the love of God if that's what you think. Here's what God did. He said in Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I not destroy it. But I found none. And then He said in Ezekiel 13:5, ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. He said, you need to be hedge builders. And there's where I'm going with the sermon this morning. We need to get in the hedge building business. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit of God, I pray right now that You'll work a miracle. Lord, it is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. And Lord, I pray that You'll do great and mighty miracles this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. Number one, we need to hedge up the lost. We need to hedge up lost people. Listen. I picked up James Stewart at the airport years ago, a great man of God and a great preacher. I picked him up at the airport and took him to Gospel Light Baptist Church where I was assistant pastor. James Stewart was saved when he was a teenager. But his mother was a godly praying woman. He was lost as a teenager until he got saved, of course, and he played football. And he was rebellious. And his mother prayed, but he still didn't get saved. And she prayed every night, and he was getting more rebellious. But one night, she just kept on praying, till the light breaks through, the Lord will answer, He'll answer you. And God keeps His promise, and His word is true. Just keep on praying, till the light breaks. And she prayed about 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11, 11:30. And sometime before the sun streaked up across the eastern sky the next morning, down on her knees, God gave her that sweet assurance and peace that it was done, that He had answered her prayer, and that her boy wouldn't have to go to hell, but thank God he could go to heaven. And I'm telling you, when that wonderful peace came over her, that God had heard that prayer, she come up from there, she come shouting up from there like an old-fashioned Baptist-costal, glory to God, hallelujah, Christian, and I, woo! She was happy and shouting. And man, she was so excited, she ran out and started telling everybody, he's saved, he's saved, James is saved. Well, it worked real good till somebody told James. James, I heard the good news. What'd you hear? I heard you got saved. Who told you that? Well, your mother did. Your mother said you got saved. My mother's lost her ever-loving mind. I'm not saved. I'm going to hell. And you tell her, I said, the next day, James, I heard the good news. I heard the good news. You heard a lie. My mama's going around telling everybody I'm saved. I'm not saved. I'm going to play football and go to hell. But about 3 or 4 days after that, he was playing football. And in the middle of a football game, he was seized, according to his own testimony, he was seized with such conviction of the Holy Spirit of God that he promised God, he said, dear God, if you'll let me live till this game is over with, I'll get saved. And guess what? God let him live. And he found a private place of prayer and knelt down. Oh, God! Oh, God, save me! Just so happened God was on call that night. As a matter of fact, just so happens He always is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God slung a slab of old-fashioned Holy Ghost salvation 6 inches below the collarbone, slightly to the left. And I mean, he came up in that place of prayer about like his mama did when God answered her prayer. Woo! He was happy. He ran home. Mama! 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 I got saved! She said, calm down. Calm down, James. I've been enjoying it for a week and a half. Calm down, boy. I'm going to tell you, James Stewart's in heaven tonight. Would you like to know why he's in heaven? Because he had an old-fashioned mama that played a hedge around about him. We need to get in the hedge-building business. You need to hedge up your children. You need to hedge up your family. You need to hedge up... Let me tell you something. You need to hedge up anybody that you want to see saved. I'm speaking to people in this room right now. You've got relatives, mamas and daddies and loved ones, and they're just as sure of hell as if they're already there outside of a miracle, and you know it. They've been turned off by some religion. They've been turned off by somebody that approached them in a way they shouldn't have. They've been turned off by the devil himself. And you say, well, there's no hope for them. Everybody's talked to them, and you can't talk to them. And let me tell you something. You and I ought to be ashamed of ourselves. The Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. What we need to do is get in the hedge. You get in the hedge building business. You get to pray. Hey. You know, Bill Cowper grew up in a home where he made a profession when he was 10. When he was 15, he never showed any fruit. When he was 15, he was living so wicked that his daddy told him, said, son, you can't live that way and live here. We ain't never allowed drinking in our home and immorality in our house, and we're not going to start now. He ran away from home, started hanging out with a bunch of boys in a bar called the Gates of Hell. That was a nickname for the bar. And the reason it was called the Gates of Hell is because the people would get drunk and the proprietor would climb up on the bar and act like he was preaching, and all the drunks would holler amen to blaspheme God. Well, one night Bill was in there with some friends, and a fella, one of the patrons, crawled up on the bar, stone drunk. He said, "Now, we've been having preaching around here." And he said, "Tonight we're not going to have any more preaching." He said, "We're going to have communion. Now, I want everybody to raise your glass." Bill said, "I raised my glass." He said, "When I did, I looked at it. And said, when I looked at it, the Holy Spirit of God said, 'Put it down, you fool.'" He dropped it on the floor, backed off of it. His old-timey daddy was home praying a hedge around about him. Bill says, "What's wrong, Bill?" He said, "I don't feel good." He said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Oh, no. I don't feel good. I got to go home." "Home? You can't go home." "Yeah, I can too. I got to go home." He went home that night and got born again by the grace of God. Got saved. And the next morning, he came down the steps. He slept upstairs. You're going to love this. He came down the steps. His daddy is down in the kitchen. He said, "Dad," he said, "look, I was thinking about last night. I was that close to blaspheming the blood of Jesus with liquor." And he said, "I was thinking, what would you think, Dad, if I wrote a song that glorified the blood of Jesus?" His dad said, "Son, I think that'd be a great idea." And he pulled out that old stubby writing instrument and penned these words: "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains." And if you were to open your hymn book right now to the song, "There is a fountain filled with blood," you'd see the word William Cowper on top of that. And now you know how that song was written. As old Paul Harvey used to say, now you know the rest of the story. But I'm telling you something, friends. You and I could see miracles, and we could see people saved. We could see people that you just, well, forget them. No, don't forget them. If they're alive, they can be born again. And if we get in the hedge building business, we start praying a hedge around about our loved ones, they'll get saved. Number two, we need to hedge up the tough cases. We need to hedge up the... You say, what are you going to do about the hard cases? How about this scripture? How about the scripture found in Hosea chapter 2 and verse number 5? Here's what it says. Listen. "For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them that have done shamefully. She said, 'I'll go after my lovers that give me my bread, my water, my wool, my flax, my oil, and my drink.'" Stop now. Stop, stop, stop. When you get a woman that men are swarming around all the time, you got a bad woman. But when you get a woman chasing men around and paying men, you got a real lulu. Did you know that? This woman was a real ding-a-ling. I mean, she was a real case in a half. What are you going to do with those bad cases like that? How are you going to handle that? Oh, here's the answer. "Therefore I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then shall she say, 'I'll go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than with now.'" He said, build a hedge of thorns around about them. Okay, you get in the hedge building business. I don't care how hard some case is you've got. You get in the hedge building business, you'll see God work a miracle. I don't know whatever happened to John Todd. Have no idea. Some people say the underworld killed him. They could have, based on his testimony. But I heard his testimony, and I'm convinced of two things. Number one, I'm convinced that he was a born-again man, that he did get saved. Number two, I was convinced that he was demon-possessed before he got saved. Convinced, and you would have been too if you'd heard him. See, his mother was a witch, and his daddy was a warlock when he was born. And they had prayed demons into his body before he was ever born. Just had a little baby just born. We're celebrating this morning. You know what? Most likely, the mother and the grandmother had already prayed for this child before it was born. Ask God to bless that child. Did you know John's mom and dad asked him to be blessed too? Not with blessings of God, but with blessings of the devil. To be demon-possessed. Can you imagine that? And when he was born, he grew up in Satanist churches and witches' covens, drinking blood and doing a dozen or two dozen other things that you can believe me when I tell you, you don't want to hear about. He was working in an occult bookstore, and a preacher came in there whose daughter had run away from home. He was looking for her. And he had a picture and was showing it to some of the workers. And he asked the question, said, hey, you got anybody else work here? He said, yeah, we got a boy in the back named John. They said, well, go get him. So they went and got him, brought him out. And this preacher said, son, have you ever seen this girl? He said, I looked at that picture. He said, no, I never saw her in my life. He said, well, if you do, would you take this right here and give it to said, this little card. Call me. There's my number on the card. He said, sure, I will. Started to run away and said, hey, wait a minute, son. Let me ask you a question. Do you know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? He said, I busted out laughing in his face. I told him, preacher, that's the biggest bunch of myth and legend I ever heard in my life. That book you hold in your hand is nothing but a fake. He said, your God's a fake. He said, there's no Bible but my Bible, and that's the Satanist Bible. He said, there's no God but my God, and that's Satan. He said, I've watched Satan take chairs and just lift them right up to the ceiling. He said, I've watched my God move things on walls and do other things. When did you ever see your God do anything like that? And the preacher said, son. Said he looked at him with eyes of compassion. He said, son, you know what your problem is. He said, no, what's my problem? He said, your problem is the devil's got your mind. And you can't think right about God or the Bible. He said, you know what I'm going to do for you? He said, no, what are you going to do for me? He said, I'm going to pray a hedge around about your mind, shut the devil out, and put the Holy Spirit in long enough for you to at least think about God. He said, I laughed and preached, you can do anything you want to. It ain't going to affect me that much. He said, I didn't get it out of my mouth until he had his hand on my shoulder. Dear Jesus, here's a young man and the devil's got his mind. And, oh, God, drive the devil back. Took his hand, did like this around my head, he said. And he said, build a fence around his mind and put the Holy Ghost in at least long enough for him to think about God. In Jesus' name, amen. He said, I laughed. I thought, what an idiot. He said, I went to the back. He said, when I got in the back, said, I picked up a book. Not a book anywhere. Here's a hymn book. He said, I picked up one of those occultic books out of the shelf. Said, I slid it on the shelf. Said, when I slid that book on the shelf, the Holy Spirit of God says, what if he's right?
Yeah.
What if he's right? He said, God being my witness, that's the first time that a serious thought about God or the Bible had ever passed through my brain. I think he was 21 years old. He said, I shook it off, reached down, got another book, slid it on the shelf. Said, he hit me again. What if he's right? Said, I couldn't shake it that time. He said, he kept bugging me. What if he's right? What if there really is a God? What if Jesus Christ really is the Son of God and God the Son? What if there really is a boiling hell where I'll drop into and burn forever? What if really... Jesus died on the cross and his blood is all he can wash my sins away. What if I'm one heartbeat from hell? What if he's right? What if he's right? He said, I couldn't shake it. It was tormenting me to death. Said, I couldn't wait for quitting time. Got out there and got in the car and cranked that rock and roll music on so loud it was loosening the screws in the dash. You know, I mean, and that big, heavy, oversized bass woofer, boom, 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 boom. But he said, in spite of that, above that driving bass beat was the voice of Almighty God saying, what if he's right? What if he's right? What if he's right? Said, I ran home, changed clothes, went downtown to see a good old dirty movie. Said, when nothing would get my mind centered back on Satan, a good old filthy movie would do it. Said, I was late for the movie, rushed in, I'd missed the previews, sat down, and the movie was just starting. He said, I hadn't bothered to notice and see what was playing, and said, that night a great big red cross flashed on the screen, and the title of the movie came out of the background, The Cross and the Switchblade. Now, The Cross and the Switchblade is a charismatic movie written as a result of a charismatic book put out by Dave Wilkerson, who was in Assemblies of God, who went to the streets of New York City and won bunches of street kids to God. Now, though we don't agree with Dave Wilkerson's, some of his doctrine, he was a born-again fellow, and he did a lot of good, and he did win some people to the Lord. But and we wouldn't go to the movie house to see anything. We don't go to movies. But here's the point I want to make to you. The point I want to make to you is this. In the providence of God, since somebody built a hedge around that boy's brain, God smacked the cross in that boy's face. He said, when I saw that cross, I jumped up, ran out of there like I'd seen a ghost. He had the Holy Ghost, and he ran out of there. He said, I was on my way back down to the car. Said, I was running from something. I didn't know what I was running from. He said, a fellow was walking up the street meeting me lazily. He said, as he got to me, he pulled something out of his pocket. Said, as I walked past him, he stuck it in my stomach. Said, I looked down and said, do you know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? He got saved. You know why he got saved? Somebody built a hedge around about him. I dare you. I double dog dare you. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how wicked it is. I don't care how far gone they are. I dare you. I dare you. I dare you to get in the hedge building business. Boy, we've seen miracles. We've seen miracles like you would not believe. We need to get in the hedge building business about the tough cases. Number three, we need to get in the hedge building business about our church. What did it say in Isaiah 58? Thou shalt be called, watch it, a repairer of the breach. You know what a breach is? A breach is a hole in the wall. And we need to hedge up our church. I had a preacher friend call me. He had heard this truth. He said, Brother Brown, he said, we have a wonderful church. They're running, I guess, 300. Beautiful building. He said, all of a sudden things just broke apart. Had a woman got mad because I wouldn't let her play the piano. She'd lay out in the front yard with not enough clothes on to clean out the barrel of a 10-gauge shotgun. Men riding by, blowing the horn, yelling cat calls at her. And I told her, I said, hey, you're welcome in this church anytime you want to. But if you're going to play the piano and yoke up with me while I'm trying to preach to people how to live right, this ain't going to work. And that's what he told her. Well, she got mad. She left the church and took her husband, took her children. And her dad and mom had joined the church, and they left the church. And her brother and his family was there, and they left the church. He said it was like God left. And he said on top of that, he said things started falling apart. We had couples split up and going through divorces and right in the church. And he said we had a little 15-year-old girl got expecting out of wedlock. And a prominent family. And he said it was just awful. He said, preacher, I couldn't preach anymore. It's like I had a chain wrapped around about me. And the amens were gone and nobody was getting saved. He said, I was preaching one night and I said, I came across that verse. Thou shalt be called a repairer of the breach, a restorer of paths to dwell in. And he said, all of a sudden it dawned on me. And I told my people, do you reckon the devil was successful to build, to tear a hole in the hedge that was round about our church? Do you think maybe that's what happened? And he said, when I said that, all of a sudden I lost my emotions and began to sob and cry and said, folks, y'all can go home. I'm going to the altar. And he said, when I got on the altar, they covered me up. Said, you never heard such praying and crying and carrying on. He said, Brother Brown, I ain't got time to tell you what's happened since that night. He said, that little girl that got expecting came forward. Nobody asked her to. Nobody knew she was going to. She came forward and asked if she could say a word and repented and cried. Asked her mother to forgive her daddy to forgive her church to forgive her pastor to forgive her Christian schoolmates to forgive her, and her God to forgive her. He said it was a mucus flinging time, and said she got right with God. And he said, Ben, we had couples getting back together that had split up. And he said, the amens are back. And he said, people are getting saved again. He said, we had people getting cancer in there. Now, my wife died with cancer 2.5 years ago. My wife's first husband died with a heart attack 7 years ago. Good people die. Good people go through hard times. Good people have to suffer. But he said, we were having more than usual of that. And he said, all of a sudden, people started getting back together. People started repenting of their sins. He said, people started, listen, he said, people started doing the right thing. He said, the amens were back, and people were getting saved. And he said, people getting healed. And we didn't even call Benny Hinn, Benny Chicken, or nobody else. They just got healed anyway. And I'm telling you something. Hey, he said, God is back in the place, and the joy of the Lord is back. I dare you. I dare you. I know this is a military atmosphere in this part of the country, and you get them in, and then they leave. I know all of that, but I'm here to promise you something. You get a hedge built around this church, there is no telling what you could see happen in this place. There is no telling! Brother, the people you'd reach, people would walk in this place and feel God and want to come back. I'm going to tell you why people go to a church. They're looking for God. And if they can find God, they'll go where God is. Amen? They'll go where God is. I'm going to tell you what you do. Instead of getting up of a morning with boogers hanging in your eyes and sticking your head in a stupid television or a newspaper on Sunday morning, you just get out on your knees and ask God to bless your pastor. Fill him with his spirit and anoint him with the power of God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you come to church, you're going to have a meeting with God. And some other folks are too. We need to get in the hedge building. I'll tell you another one. You better hedge up your church for lawsuits. You better hedge up your church. I had a 10-year-old boy told his public school teacher that somebody named Dave molested him at my church. Well, Human Services got in on it. I went down and sat down in the home, and I said, ma'am, if anybody's bothered this boy, I'll go to court on your behalf. We paid taxes to prosecute criminals, and anybody to molest a child is a criminal, and they don't have to make me a mandatory reporter. I will report, and I'll go to court on your behalf. She said, I appreciate that, Pastor Brown. But I said, let me ask your boy some questions. And I began to question him. I hadn't talked to him 3 minutes till I could tell he was lying through his teeth. Ended up, I said, so son, what you're saying is nobody touched you at all. He said, well, that's right. I said, what you're saying is you fabricated this whole story. 10 years old. He said, well, yeah. I'm going to tell you, if these children didn't sit at night after some of you parents had gone to bed and watch that stupid television, they wouldn't know how to make up stories like that at 10 years of age. And let me tell you, and so I told him, I said, son, I said, ma'am, may I talk to your boy a little further? She said, you may. I said, son, you about got a good man in trouble. And I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Don't you ever lie against nobody like that again as long as you live. Yeah, okay. You better get to praying a hedge around about your church. You better. I can stand here and talk to you tomorrow on cases I've been in and stories that I know about. You better pray a hedge around about your church. Jesus said, Satan hath desired to have you, Peter, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. We get in the hedge building business. You get people saved here. It ain't your front door that's killing your attendance. It's your back door. If we get in the hedge building business and people get anchored in the Lord and stay, hey, I'm going to tell you what, there is no telling what had happened here at this church. I dare you. We started a prayer meeting years ago, a bunch of men just meeting praying on Saturday night. We doubled our offerings. We had 700 and some saved in the services that first year after we had started that prayer meeting. We had somebody give us $100,000. We doubled our mission program in 1 year. It's all because we got in the hedge building business and praying. It works. And it'll work for your church. It'll work for you. We need to get in the hedge building business about the lost. We need to get in the hedge building business about the tough cases. We need to get in the hedge building business about our churches. And we need to get in the hedge building business about our families. Matthew 21:33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder that planted a vineyard and hedged it round about. Household is the head of the home. Vineyard speaks of the wife and children. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine, and thy children like olive plants round about the table. In Psalms 128, verse 3. And then how about Deuteronomy 22:8? When thou buildest a house, thou shalt build a battlement around it. That's a hedge or a fence. What did he say in Matthew 21:33? Hear another parable. There was a certain householder planted a vineyard, hedged it. Hedged it. Let me tell you something. Dr. Glenn Jaspers had 4 children, all of which entered the ministry. He pastored in Marshalltown, Iowa, years ago when I started my church. And those 4 children all served God. They were preachers or married to preachers. One of them was married to evangelist Paul Caulgill. The other one was, I think, president of Pillsbury, Dave Jaspers. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Yeah, Dave Jaspers. And then another one or two. But they were all serving the Lord. So I said to him, I said, my children were small at that time. I said, Dr. Jaspers, what did you do to see your children turn out the way they did? I said, I see men better than I am, and their children go to the devil. What did you do to see your children turn out the way they did? He said, oh, Brother Brown, my wife's to be blamed for that. I said, well, she did. He said, oh, she got up an hour before I did every morning. He said, I'd go down the hall and get me a cup of coffee, and I'd go by Dave and Steve's room, for instance. I mean, Steve's a pastor today. Dave, I think, still an evangelist. He left the college and went into evangelism. And he said, I'd go down the hall and said the door would be open to the boys' room. Said my wife would get up and put her house coat on over her gown, and she'd just walk in the boys' room. They'd be asleep. She'd just stand there with her hand on the bed rail. Said she'd stand there for an hour every morning praying for the boys. He said it's her fault. That's what happened. Mama's to blame for it. She did it. So she was the one. My children are living for God because of Mama. They built a hedge round about. I was preaching in Maine for Nate Garnett. And Nate had pastored a church for some years, a godly man. It so happened he had a preacher's meeting, and in that preacher's meeting, his brother Ralph was there, who was an evangelist. His brother David was there, who pastored down in Lewiston, Maine. He had another brother that was a preacher. Then he had a sister that was saved. All of them were saved and serving God. So I said, Brother Garnett, I said, you must have really come out of a godly home. Oh, no, I didn't. He said, my daddy was a drunk. He said, my mama was not saved. She didn't go to church. I said, well, what happened to your family? All of y'all are serving the Lord. He said, oh, it's grandma's fault. I said, what grandma do? He said, well, my grandmother got old and dad and mom agreed. I think it was his daddy's daddy agreed to let her come and live with us. She was old. She wasn't hardly able to do anything. But he says, we boys be out tearing around, drinking, carousing around at night. He said, we'd come in, and said, every night we'd come in, we'd hear that old little squeaky voice in the back of the house. Here, Jesus, them boys are out there tonight, living for the devil. Oh, God, get a hold of them. Said, she prayed for hours. Said, every time we'd come in, we'd hear her pray. He said, it's grandma's fault. It's grandma's fault. She's the one who did it. And she was. And God answers prayer. She got in the hedge building. She built a hedge around those grandbabies. And guess what happened? God got a hold of them. Hey, it's no secret what God can do. We need to get in the hedge building business about our families. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you one illustration. Close the sermon. I had a couple join my church years ago. The lady came to see me. She said, Pastor, she said, look, it was bad enough before we had children. But now we try to go home to my daddy's house. And I'm the only one saved in the family. By the way, her daddy had gone to prison for crimes in the home we can't discuss. And she said, then my grown brothers and sisters come in. And she said, they turn the rawest stuff on television they can find just to spite us. And then the table gets full of liquor and beer and the language gets bad. She said, what are we going to do? How do we go home? Well, I began to give her some pointers, and I said, we need to get in the hedge building business about your dad, your mom. And I said, tell you what, I'll go down and see him. Oh, whew, her face dropped about that far. She said, you better not go see daddy. I said, why not? She said, my daddy hates preachers. I said, well, I've run into a lot of people that didn't like preachers. She said, no preacher, he hates preachers. That's all she told me, but her husband came in less than a week and said, preacher, my wife didn't want to tell you the whole story, but she thinks it's wise if I come in and tell you, said when her daddy's mother, before her daddy was born, when her daddy's mother was a 15-year-old girl attending an Assemblies of God church, a so-called preacher took five teenage girls home one night and saved this one 15-year-old girl to last. And a brutal criminal act was committed in that car. Said the girl was totally innocent. She had no clue. She was not party to it at all. But as a result of that, that little 15-year-old girl conceived a baby in that car. And said when that baby was born, that baby was my wife's daddy's, my wife's daddy. And said when he was old enough to know anything about the circumstances of his birth, they told him. And said he grew up with a green-eyed hatred and bitterness toward anything that even looked like a preacher, much less sounded like one. Now you can understand why he hated preachers. You can get it. You can understand why. And he said, preacher, look, we love you, Brother Brown. But he said, you go down there and knock on his door. You could get hurt bad. I said, thanks for the warning. I didn't tell him, but I thought he can go to hell. There's too many people want to get saved. I let him go on to hell. I ain't going to go down there and get shot. My mama never had no ignorant boys. I ain't going down there and get shot. So I didn't go. But about 3 months later, I was down there making a hospital visit. I went by and knocked on his door. He opened the door. I said, hey, I don't have time to come in. Made sure I didn't have time to come in. I said, I don't have time to come in, but I just came by to tell you. Told him who I was. I said, I came by to tell you got the sweetest little grandbabies I've ever seen in my life. Before he could think what he was doing, half a grin came out of the corner of his mouth and he straightened up. I said, I got to be going. Maybe some other time I can come back. He called his daughter in my town the next morning and said, hey, that Brown guy was by here yesterday. I think that's the only preacher I ever met in my life worth shooting. Now that shooting business kind of scared me. But he said, oh, and she called me, his daughter called me, and she said, preacher, it's wonderful. That's the first time he ever said anything nice about a preacher. I thought, nice? Nice? To make a long story short, he had some health issues. I said, you call me next time he comes by. She did, and I dropped in. I talked to that man 5 times, never mentioned the name of Jesus. I buttonholed him through the screen door. I went him to God on the front porch. But there's some people you're not going to win that way. There's some people you're going to have to win them to yourself before you can win them to God. I visited with him 5 times, never mentioned the name of Jesus. I was waiting for the Holy Spirit to give me the signal. Then I witnessed to him. He bristled like a porcupine. I backed off of him like a hot potato. But he was in the hospital later. I went by to see him, and when I walked in, I screamed, Lord, should I witness to him or not? And when I walked in, he said, hey, I'm glad you're here. I was watching television yesterday. He said, and some dude is on there talking about heaven and hell and God and the Bible. Just what does a man have to do to go to heaven anyway? I said, well, just so happens I got my little New Testament right here. Let me show you. Hey, let me tell you something. I have never in my life... See this young man over here on the end? How old are you, son? How old are you? How much? I have never won a 13-year-old boy to Jesus any easier than I won that man to God. I mean, he got born again. I mean, the kind of born again, cussing gone, liquor gone. I mean, born again. Hey, he wanted to sell his house and move to my town just to go to my church. His daughter said, he ain't even like the same daddy. He don't talk the same. He don't act the same. He died. Hey, listen, he died a few years ago, and I preached his funeral, told that story at his funeral, and several adults got saved at his funeral. And I'm going to tell you something. You and I need to get in the hedge building business about our families. In the hard cases, there's nothing too hard for God if we're just getting the hedge building. Oh, wait a minute. I've been talking about lost people and family. Oh, yeah. But wait a minute. Anybody with a financial problem in here? Maybe we could hedge that up. Is there anybody in here with a marital problem? You know what I'd do if I was a single young person in here? I'd hedge myself in that God give me a good mate. I did. Years ago, and God gave me one 39 years ago. God took her to heaven. Then I got to praying again after she died, and God gave me another one. And I'm telling you something. God hadn't done a thing for me he wouldn't do for you if you'd get in the hedge building business. Hedge yourself in. Jabez did, and you can. And somebody says, how long will it take for me to build a hedge? I'm going to shock you. 37 seconds. For 37 years. Let me explain. I was preaching in a New England state. There was a couple there who had a grown son that hadn't been in church in several years. He is saved, said he was, but he hadn't been in church. They came to the altar after this sermon, and they prayed a hedge. 37 seconds. May have been less. May have been 90 seconds. But anyway, they prayed, Lord, we want to build a hedge around our son. They intended to continue that prayer till they got a hedge built around about him. But they went home that night and was still up at 11 when he got off work. Walked in the house. I don't even know if he knew they'd been at church. Walked in the house and hollered, hey, Mom, Dad. Yeah, we're back here. I'm going to church Sunday. They said, what? He said, yeah. They said, what brought that on? Well, I was coming home from work tonight and stopped to get some gas, and the girl there waiting on the rest just started talking to me about the Lord, and I just thought, you know, it's time I got back in church. How about the 27 years? Dan Walser owned 3 restaurants in the Lexington, North Carolina area, making more money than he had time to spend. He was lost, and his mother, his godly mother, prayed for him every night. He had a head-on collision with Jesus Christ by faith and got born again. And you know what happened to him? He went home and said, walked in, Mama, I got saved. She said, son, I prayed for you 27 years. You see, the important thing is not how long it's going to take for you to get a hedge in place. The important thing is this. Do you believe what I've preached to you this morning? Do you believe that God talks about a hedge and commands us and indicts us because we have not gone up and built up the hedge? Do you believe what that King James Bible... And I'll tell you another one, too. If I was in this room and I didn't know for dead sure I was going to heaven, I'd just build a hedge. And I'd say, I ain't leaving here till I know I'm going to heaven. I ain't leaving here. I was in room 4, dormitory 426, in a Bible college in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Professed to be saved, but was lost. And I woke up my roommate. I said, hey, I got to get it settled. I ain't going another day risking one heartbeat from hell. And he told me how to be saved. I knew how to be saved. I asked Jesus to save me in my heart and was born again. I was an 18-year-old rock and roll singer in amateur show business back when Elvis was popular the first time around. And I'm telling you something, I got born again. And there's nobody here necessary for you to go to hell. Jesus died for you. It's wonderful, and you can be saved. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many people are in this room, Christian, born again, and says, Brother Brown, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. Members, visitors, everybody, saved and know you're saved. Get your hand up. Hold it up, hold it up, hold it up. Thank you. Take your hands down. How many folks say, Brother Brown, I did not raise my hand. I may not know for sure I'm saved, but I am not a hypocrite. And I want you to pray for me. Nobody's looking. Raise your hand up. Let me see it. I want to pray for you. Hold it. I won't call your name. I just want to see your hand. Go ahead. Hold it up. Let me pray for you. Hold it up. Hold it up. Anybody, anybody, anywhere. Real quick. Real quick. Now, how many of God's people are here and you say, Brother Brown, I need to get in the hedge building business. Somebody's got a marital problem. Somebody's got a financial problem. Somebody's got a child problem. Somebody's got an in-law problem. Somebody's got a health problem. Somebody's got a nerve problem. Somebody's got a work-related problem. Somebody's got an emotional problem. How many folks are here and says, I thought of something I really need to get in the hedge building business about. Get your hand up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold them up, Christian. If God spoke to you, that's right. God bless you. Hold them up. Preacher, there's at least 50 people with their hands in the air, and you know it if you saw what I saw. I'll get you. Hold them up. Hold them up. Hold them up. Now take them down, Holy Spirit of God. I don't know what was behind every hand that was raised, but I do know that, Lord, if we'll get in the hedge building business, God can do miracles. He can do and He will do miracles. And I pray, Lord Jesus, You'll bless us now to get in the hedge building business and to make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Oh God, if we don't, we're going to hear God's indictment. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge. Lord, help us to get in the hedge building. Help us to believe God and to trust God for a miracle. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. You heard the message. You raised your hand. Every single human being that raised their hand ought to get straight out of their seat and get down at this altar, whether anybody else comes or not. You say, I don't care if nobody comes. I'm going. I don't care if nobody comes. I'm going. Just get up out of your seat right now and get down here. I mean, right down here. That's right. God bless you. Here comes a dozen or more. How about others? Will you come right now? Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. There's no joy. There's no peace till the Lord. Begin to play the instrument, if you will. Whatever you got picked out is all right. That's right. God bless you. How about others? Will you come right now? I mean, we need to get in the hedge building business. That's right. God bless you. How about others? Come on. Come on. Let's get her settled. We need to get in the hedge building business. That's wonderful. God bless you. God bless you. That's good. God bless you. We need to get in the hedge building business. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yes. How many others? Now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, stay here at the altar. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to have the people stand. Lord, bless us now. Thank You for the privilege to hear the Bible. And Lord, we need to get in the hedge building business. Bless us now as we do in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. It's still in the chair. Everybody stand up. Stand. Come on, stand up. That's right. And if you raised your hand, come on to the altar. Let's just get it settled. Just slip out from where you are. Come on down right now. Let's get it settled. Will you do it? Will you do it? Come on. Is there somebody here? You're not a member of a Bible preaching church where you go faithfully. You ought to come to this church. And I'm going to tell you something. Larry Brown don't have to be here for you to hear the Bible. We got a man right here who preaches the Bible every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I'm here to promise you he didn't start last week and he knows something and he can help you and help your family. You ought to come forward and join his church this morning. And somebody else is here, you've never been baptized by immersion in water since you've been saved. Why don't you come right now? Right now. Just come tell the preacher, I need to get baptized. I need to get it settled. You come. Will you do it? Will you do it?
Someday you'll think of this meeting on the ninth day of September. And God, you remember the day you said, I'm going to pray hedge by. And you'll say, you know, that preacher came from Iowa and God got a hold of my heart and it saved our marriage.
Amen.
Or God got a hold of my heart and I got saved. Or God got a hold of my heart and there's some things that have just not been right at home and me and Daddy or me and Mama, we got right. I quit my rebellion. I quit my fussing. You have no idea what God has for you. I'm going to ask you one more time. You're here tonight and you say, today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to be sure of that. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today. Why don't you step out? Come on. Let's get that taken care of. Say, I'm done running. I'm going to ask Jesus in my heart. Before it's too late and I fall into the pit of hell forever and burn there forever. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so that you could have free access to heaven. Why don't you come right now? I said, Preacher, I need to get saved. Come on. Come on, don't wait. Just say, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to ask Jesus in my heart. You hear today and say, Preacher, I've been saved but haven't followed the Lord and believers' baptism in the water. Come on. Or you hear today and say, Preacher, you know, we need to become members of this church. This is where we need to serve at. Why don't you come this time? Father in heaven, I pray today that you'd speak to our hearts as you already have. Help us to do that which is right. And God, I pray that you just move in a mighty way. Lord, help this invitation not to stop, but just keep going on in our heart until we're ready to humble ourselves before you. God, have mercy that we walk out of here without heaven. You doing a work in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother, you'd like to say a few things about this?
Just a few words here, if I can.